The Center for Biblical and Theological Education presents Lectio Guided Bible Reading. All guided Bible readings are the property of Seattle Pacific University. For copyright information or to learn more about the Center for Biblical and Theological Education, please visit www.spu.edu/CBTE. Seattle Pacific University, engaging the culture, changing the world through the power of God's Word.
The Servant of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 49, verse 1 through 52, verse 12. Unfortunately for some, the term missionary suggests not an agent of liberation, but an agent of oppression. Some view Christian missionaries as knowing and unknowing perpetrators of colonialism, racism, and imperialism. For example, in the 19th century, both trading and missionary activity operated under the name of the East India Trading Company, which, with the help of the British military, poisoned the people of China with opium for the sake of profit. Sadly, similar incidents of oppression continue today. In 2003, a popular TV evangelist publicly defended Liberian President Charles Taylor, who 9 years later was sentenced to 50 years in prison for committing war crimes. It appears this Christian leader had financial motives for keeping this dictator in power, since he had personally invested millions of dollars into a Liberian gold mining venture under an agreement he had made with the Liberian government. Mission can be both salvific and destructive. Christian mission must be the former and not the latter. How then are we to discern what constitutes Christian mission? The text that gave the early church its missionary cue, more than any other text, was Isaiah. To justify the first intentional mission to reach Gentiles in the book of Acts, Paul quotes Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, and Acts chapter 13, verse 47. I have sent you to be a light for the Gentiles, so that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Isaiah provides the warrant and motivation for Paul to venture beyond Jewish communities and preach the gospel to Gentiles. Regarding the question, but how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one whom they have never heard? In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, Paul responds by quoting Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news! If the church is to be holy, Catholic, and apostolic, that is, a sent people, then we ought to follow the pattern of the apostles and learn from Isaiah how to be a missionary people. Is it coincidence that Isaiah chapters 40 through 55, the greatest text on mission in the Old Testament, and perhaps in the whole Bible, also possesses the servant of the Lord as one of its main themes? I don't think so. The manner of Christian mission must be one of service. It must be one in which Christians are servants of others, not lords over them. Only when mission is done from a posture of servanthood can it be authentically Christian. The question that we will address this week is, what does it mean to be the servant of the Lord? Last week, we learned that according to Isaiah chapters 40 through 55, Israel doesn't need a Messiah. God is king, and he can choose whomever he pleases, even a pagan king, to work out his salvation. So we find that in Isaiah 40 through 55, the primary agent of God's salvation is not the Messiah, but rather the servant of the Lord. The next question is, who is the servant of the Lord? In Isaiah chapter 41, we are introduced to the servant of the Lord, who is identified as Israel in verse 8. And this figure bears great resemblance to Cyrus. Yahweh holds both the servant and Cyrus by their right hands, calls upon them by name, and calls them in righteousness. Cyrus, like the servant of Yahweh, will bring forth justice and liberate prisoners. Could Cyrus, a pagan king, be the servant of Yahweh? In one sense, the answer is yes, as argued above. However, a reading of chapters 40 through 55 will result in a no. Cyrus is characterized as an efficient conqueror who mightily wields the sword and the bow as he tramples on his enemies, whereas the servant in chapters 40 through 48 will not cry or lift up his voice, according to 42 verse 2, and in chapters 49 through 53, he will face fierce persecution and suffering. Isaiah 42:2 is to be interpreted in light of Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. The servant of Yahweh will indeed experience persecution, but he will endure it in silence. Isaiah 42:2 describes how a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. Bruised reeds and dimly burning wicks signify people who may seem strong, but are actually weak. In contrast to the might of Cyrus, this servant of the Lord is gentle. It is clear that Yahweh is concerned not merely about what is accomplished in ministry, but about the manner in which ministry is conducted. Justice is to be accomplished not through force, but through gentleness. It also seems at this point in the book of Isaiah that Yahweh is interested in more what is accomplished than in who accomplishes it. Yahweh's main concern is for his just and righteous purposes for the nations to be established. Earlier, Israel questioned the justice of God in chapter 40, verse 27, as they lingered in exile. Yahweh's response to his people comes in the form of a pagan king who does not know Yahweh. The people of God do not hold a monopoly on justice. In fact, they are at times in need of the nations to bring justice to them. Israel was called to be the primary agent of God's justice and righteousness in the earth. Yet Israel abdicated this responsibility and itself needed to be redeemed by justice. Isaiah chapter 42 reminds the people of God to be humble, since they are not God's sole agents of justice and righteousness. In some cases, God may be accomplishing his plans for his people through the Gentile nations. God is so committed to justice and righteousness that he at times will establish them without the cooperation of his servant Israel. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 through 6 is the second of the so-called servant songs. As chapter 48 draws to a close, the identity of the servant remains open. Cyrus is no longer a possible candidate, so the role of servant defaults to Israel. At the end of chapter 48, the voice of an individual prophet emerges for the first time in Isaiah 48:16. And now the Lord God has sent me and his Spirit. The Spirit that earlier anointed the servant of Isaiah in 42:1 now commissions an individual prophet to fulfill the role of the servant. It will be this individual who will speak as the servant of Yahweh throughout chapters 49 through 53, and who will fulfill the role of the servant spoken of earlier in chapters 40 through 48. Both Isaiah 42 and Isaiah 49 describe the servant as ministering to the nations, teaching the coastlands, caring for justice, and serving as a light to the nations and a covenant to the people. The one key development in chapter 49 is that the servant, who is clearly identified as Israel in verse 3, will now have a ministry to its own kin. The servant is commissioned to bring Jacob back to him and to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. His ministry is not merely to liberate the nations, but to revive and to restore his own people. The servant is an individual Israelite who possesses a ministry to redeem the people Israel. In this case, the minister, that is Israel, needs to first be ministered to. Recall that Israel, as a people, was called to be God's witness to all nations. When God first chose Abraham, he did so for the purpose that in Israel all the families of the earth shall be blessed, according to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. God's election of a particular people is not favoritism of one at the expense of others, but rather the choice of one to serve the common good. Election ought not to be associated solely with privilege. Rather, election involves responsibility. Unfortunately, Israel has not been faithful in its role as God's servant. Israel, as God's servant, is called to open the eyes of the blind, but is itself plagued with the same malady. Isaiah 42:19 says, "Who is blind but my servant, or deaf like my messenger whom I send? Who is blind like my dedicated one, or blind like the servant of the Lord?" God's solution to an unfaithful Israel is not to choose a different people. No matter how many times I've asked God, "Make Koreans your chosen people," God has not budged from his election of Israel. God's solution is to fix his broken people, not choose another people. The prophet commissioned in chapter 49 is not a replacement of Israel as God's servant. Rather, he is sent to call Israel back to its vocation as a light to the nations. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, God says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." God's servant is to be concerned for the local, in this case Jacob and Israel, as well as a global, that is, the end of the earth. As important as it is to reach the nations, it is oftentimes the case that it is easier to reach out to strangers halfway across the globe than to reach out to one's own family or neighbors. The people of God are never to neglect their own kin, as exemplified by Jesus' own willingness to go to Nazareth and Jerusalem. If you are ever puzzled by Jesus' seemingly ethnocentrism, you can understand the logic of his messianic vocation. On one occasion, Jesus rebuffs the request of a Canaanite woman for healing and declares, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." By loving Israel, Jesus was not forsaking the world. Instead, the redemption of Israel was the means by which God was loving the world. The prophet servant of Isaiah chapters 40 through 53 is charged with a difficult task of persuading a reluctant and obstinate people to embrace a dangerous mission. Isaiah chapters 49 through 53 captures a progression of resistance the prophet servant experiences. He first encounters an unresponsive audience in chapter 49, then experiences confrontations and insults in chapter 50, and eventually endures rejection, violence, and death in chapter 53. In chapter 50, God's servant is struck, harassed, insulted, and spit upon. Isaiah chapters 49 through 52 makes it clear that servanthood involves prophetic ministry in the tradition of Jeremiah, otherwise known as the weeping prophet. Like Jeremiah, the servant is called to a prophetic ministry while in his mother's womb. Unlike Cyrus, who wields a literal sword and bow, the quote-unquote weapon a prophet employs is his preaching. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, the servant acknowledges his vocation as a teacher. The word for teacher literally means one who is taught. By means of his education and the spoken word, the servant is able to sustain the weary. In Isaiah chapter 51, we once again hear of the teaching ministry of the servant. God's instruction goes forth as far as to the coastlands and serves as the means by which God brings justice as a light to the nations. We have already seen that the role of the servant is to bring about justice and righteousness. Now we see that the servant is to be a preacher as well. Mission involves both proclamation and deeds. Conservative Christians have tended to prioritize evangelism and minimize social action. Liberal Christians have tended to do the reverse. According to Scripture, Christian mission requires both. As in the case of Jeremiah, faithfulness to one's prophetic vocation may provoke rejection and opposition, resulting in the prophet's questioning his call to ministry. In Isaiah chapter 40, Israel accuses Yahweh of disregarding the right or justice, mishpat, of Israel. And for this reason, Israel has grown faint and lost strength, koach. In Isaiah 49:4, the prophet's servant complains to Yahweh, "I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength, koach, for nothing and vanity, yet surely my cause, mishpat, is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." In contrast to this self-evaluation, Yahweh is much more positive in his assessment of his servant. In Isaiah 49:3, Yahweh states that he will be glorified in his servant. And in verse 5, the prophet can claim, "I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." Humans do not possess the means to properly assess their own ministries and achievements. Only God does.